We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We're very happy to announce that Michael Irvin will be back for a weekly segment on Damon and Ratto this upcoming football season, starting right now. You never walk away from talent, playmaker. We're thrilled to have you back. How are you, man?
And not just talent. I'm doing well, guys. It's great to be back. It's great to have football right around the corner here. As a matter of fact, in the next couple of days here, to be honest with you. But listen. You can walk away from talent. You can't walk away from this kind of gift. Talent says that's the running and jumping part. The gift to inspire people, to make everybody want to do more, push more, fight more, work more. That gift right there, and don't take this what I said, even your head coach said it in the press conference. He says, I've never been inspired by a player as much as I have been inspired by Deebo Samuel. I'm just so happy the deal got made. I was pushing Deebo on this and say, hey, man, y'all, this is a marriage that belongs together. Like, I want to see you do great things in the NFL, make a mark for your family. You're going to get all your money. The best place to do it was in San Francisco. So I'm so happy. And I'm happy for both sides.
So, Michael, when we talked to you, you were the first person to say that when you said stay with San Francisco, he did not receive that well. Those are your exact words. Now, yep. Players lean on you like anyone should lean on an uncle who has been there. And I know that they come to you for counsel. Did you think that this was really his trade request was just a modern opening gambit in negotiations, or he really for a minute or two wanted to see his career in another city?
Listen, this was not game. This was not a game. He really wanted to be moved. And remember, I had conversations with him, and I knew the Nick Grit or why that really came about. He shared that with me, and I said I wouldn't violate that, and I won't share it here, you know. But when he did share it, I felt it when he explained it to me. So I felt it. So, no, he wanted to be moved. But also, like what John Lynch had said and Coach had said, you know, if we went about some things the wrong way or something, we want to work. We want to mend those relationships. We want to be here forever with Deebo. You know, and guys, I always tell you, most receivers are emotional. Hell, I just went through it with Mike with the network. We're going through negotiations and all of that. And everybody tries to tell you, it's just business, it's just business. Okay, you can keep it just business, but I'm an emotional player. You use that emotion to help you win on the football field. Don't expect me to be able to just house this damn emotion now. This is who I am. It's not something I strap on when I hit the field. This is my everyday makeup. So they take that personally when they're not getting you. You get emotionally tied up in it when you're not getting what you're worth. But he's getting what he's worth now. You know, he's getting what he's worth. So we can put this genie back in the bottle and get going. Let me tell you what I text him when I hear. I told him congrats. I said, you know, I'm happy for both sides because that is where you belong. I said, now go and do your great things, man. And try. I said, mark my words. We'll have a conversation again about this very thing when we're both sitting there in the Misky luncheon with our gold jackets on. Now that you said, we're saying friends. And that will be true.
As you look at it, though, I mean, on the assumption that you thought they would eventually sit down and find a mutually agreeable number, given what the other wide receivers in this class have gotten, do you think Samuel got enough, got too much, or got too little?
I think he got, no, you're saying anybody got enough when we're always trying to get more. I can't, you know, say, I get people all the time, so Michael, why do you work so much? Why are you joking? Do you not see Bill Gates and Jerry Jones still going? How the hell can I have a thought about not working if they're still working? You see what I mean? So you always want to get as much as you can. But I think they settled at a great spot for everybody. A great spot for everybody. San Fran, that's a good number to San Fran to get this kind of talent at. That's an incredible number for a young man like Deebo Samuel to have coming in. And he's earned it. Now, you ask me bottom line, we move all of that out of the way. I think Debo's worth more. I think he's worth more because he gives you that added element of what I just talked about. The added element of he's your team, he raises your whole team, but he also sprinkle on some hellified running back. That's why I really think he's worth more.
Was there a sense in any of your conversations that the way he was used was the sticking point, or was this just negotiations that were going to be normal, how much do I get paid negotiations?
Well, it's a point. It's a point. It's a point because if you're going to run them like that on Sunday, you need to be a little bit more, you need to do a little more ear hustling and listening to him on Monday about what his body's going through. You know what I mean? If he's a little banged up, being able to give him some time off. So it's certainly a point. But it becomes a moot point once you put him in the uniform and get him on the football field. Because all of that, dog, let me tell you something, all of that goes down the drain because he's just a competitor and a winner. And they know, well, we listen to you, but when that's, we get on the field and it's a 3rd-and-2, or you get the fumble like you got in Dallas, Deebo looks over at Cal and said, give me the ball. You think he's thinking about it? I don't want to be ran right now. I told y'all don't run me that much. All that's going out the window. This dude's a football player. It'll be going out the window. He'll get back there and he'll run that ball, and I'll be on TV on Sunday singing that song, Deebo. Oh, so we'll all be in our right spot.
Michael Irvin here on 95.7 The Game. Do you think that Kyle Shanahan has learned maybe, you know, when you ask so much of a player on a Sunday, even though he's not 6, 7, 8 years into his career, he gets a veteran's day off. He gets a little time. Do you think that Kyle Shanahan, who has, you know, always been regarded as kind of a player's coach, will be even better as a player's coach having gone through this game of chicken with Deebo?
I think all of this works out the right way. Let me tell you why, man. You need people to push you. Jimmy was like Kyle Shanahan. You need to be challenged. You need to be pushed. Did you guys watch that UFC fight the other night? And I'm not digressing. I'm still on point here. When Amanda Nunes got back in that ring and the way she fought. And the way she said after the fight, she said she needed Julia. Julia Pena brought the challenge back to her. She had been a champion for so long. She needed something, that new challenge to bring the lioness out of her. So she got pushed. She got pushed. Even as a champion, she was saying, you know, maybe and like Jimmy Johnson just tell us. He says Jimmy Johnson used to tell us. It's a human tendency. When you have great success and you keep having success, there's a human tendency to want to pull back. So you got to make sure you got the right people to keep pushing you, even when you want to pull back. So I like that Kyle Shanahan kept pushing, because only those who have tried to push too far or go too far knows how far we can really go. They just have to find a good middle ground. I don't want Kyle to lighten up. Because then some guys that really didn't earn what Debo's earned may think and try to take advantage of it. And now you got a whole different team, and you don't have what you have, and you don't have the culture that you have. So I'm not striking at Cal for being how he is. Yes, Jimmy Johnson was that way. Now, Cal is going to learn these things. This is one thing. He's a smart, brilliant man. He's going to learn that old Jimmy Johnson rule. You know, that hey, I don't treat everybody fairly. When you're running them kind of touchdowns and catching them kind of touchdowns, maybe me and you can work a little differently. But all y'all other chumps better get y'all butts in here and work hard. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's that Jimmy Johnson rule. He'll pick a little bit of that up.
Let me ask a football nerd question at this point. Given that defensive coordinators have looked at film of the 49ers for 8 months now, how many different ways can Kyle Shanahan use Samuel to keep the surprise fresh? Or have we seen what he is, and that's what we're going to keep seeing until they take it away?
No, but here's why you have such success in your run game. It's because you can see Kyle will give you the same formation. He'll give you the same personnel, but it's a whole different blocking scheme. You may think you're getting blocked by a tight end, and the tight end goes around, or somebody else comes on a motion and blocks you. So, yeah, he gives you all of that stuff. That's why it's going to be hard to peg. This is why him and his father has lived in this system where give me any running back, and I can get you 1,000 yards with that running back. Because I'm not just changing personnel, I'm going to change blocking schemes. So even when you see my tendencies, my down and my tendencies, and you think you got it figured, I'm going to give you a different blocking scheme so I can still have that great success. I don't think there's a pinning this situation down.
From the players that you've spoken to, from the coaches that you deal with, what do you think of Trey Lance now being QB1? And if you're Kyle Shanahan, what is your priority with this young man between now and that first game, week 1 in Chicago?
Anybody else too, though, man? Anybody else here? I would be worried. I would say this is not a smart move if anybody else was doing this. But this with Kyle as the head coach, this I'm comfortable with. I'm comfortable with, and I can't wait to see it, you know. And I'm expecting him to have an incredible season for a young guy. I'm not saying he's going to win MVP, but he'll have an incredible season for a young guy. I've watched Kyle Shanahan have pretty good success with guys, with backup guys that are way less talented than Trey Lance. So I'm expecting him to have some success with this kid, with the upside that he has in his body.
How many games do you think the 49ers will not win because Trey Lance is essentially a rookie? Or does that become irrelevant after about 4 or 5 games?
Oh, well, that's a great question. That's a great question. I don't know if I could pinpoint quite an answer on that. You would try to say how many games is that worth, you know, because how many games will his ability to run, was his ability to run that's an ability over Jimmy Garoppolo's ability to run, can you say will really help them win a game, you know what I mean? Because there's some give and take there. How many games would it cost us because they will confuse them on the back end with some coverages or some stunts or some blitzes, as opposed to how many games were they earned because you ain't see a quarterback run like this behind this kind of run scheme with these kinds of run games, so with this kind of run game, and then how he adds some things to it. Maybe he's moving like he's running and he's able to back up and drop a bomb somewhere on somebody. They're going to get a few games that way too. So yeah. If you lose 1 or 2, 3 games here on him not recognizing some of the more difficult and diverse schemes, I think you get 1 or 2 games back with you not recognizing this kind of talent at quarterback before.
It's going to be such an interesting year. We're thrilled here on Damon and Ratto and 95.7 The Game to have Michael Irvin, the Hall of Famer, NFL Network. He's going to be with us each and every week. I know we're trying to pick out the right days to not mess with your travel schedule and everything, but we're really, really looking forward to it. Today's big conversation, obviously, around football is a 6-game suspension recommended by Sue L. Robinson for Deshaun Watson. And now Roger Goodell has a few days to decide whether or not to take that or add to it. Do you think Roger Goodell will be looking for more than the 6 games she recommended?
Well, I know they probably wanted more, but there's a lot going into, do you go and try to get more? I thought, from what I've seen of the ruling and the reading and everything that I've seen, I thought she really mapped out her reasoning behind the 6 games, where as she looked over and said, you know, yeah, she sees where there could really be, where in the NFL investigation, that they've come up and determined that there has been an assault, you know, and that she's come up with the 6 games according to the punishment given to other people in this area. You know, so I thought all that she did, she came up with the great. Now, let me tell you what I did think about also. I said, wow, this is fascinating. Because the NFL investigation came up with enough evidence that said somebody did assault somebody. I went to the grand jury and the police investigation came up with an investigation who said there is not enough evidence to move forward to it with a criminal complaint. I was like, well, who's right here? I mean, the NFL, well, I bet that there's a whole lot of brothers in jail off the investigation of the police. And they're saying, how good is these investigations that got us in jail? If the police are coming up with one thing and the NFL's coming up with another, it's a lot in that. It's just a whole lot in that, man. But I thought she did a wonderful job in explaining why the 6 games. I thought she did a wonderful job in that. And I don't know if the NFL, I know even if they may want to challenge it, they may think it's smart enough to challenge it.
Do you get the sense that with this, the NFL is going to finally just get out of the business of player discipline? Because it seems like over the years, Roger Goodell was hired to be the discipline commissioner and pretty much failed at that, you know, time and time again. And now we're at a stage where I think the league is almost washing its hands of it. Do you get that sense, or do you think this is not that earth-shattering a decision to make?
Well, the league is always going to try to keep everything above board because they care about the fans, and they should do that. And that's the right thing to do. If you got to go a little overboard to keep that and keep that honesty, just like they do with us in the gambling thing. You know, we want to make sure that we're turning over all corners to keep everything all above board, you know, in this manner. And hold people to a standard. So I don't want the NFL to stop doing that. But I do believe it makes it a difficult situation when we have the law that we all in this world, in this country here, are relying on, and God hopes they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They come up with one conclusion, and then the investigation comes up with another conclusion that makes it very difficult. And I'm not just talking about for the NFL, because I love the NFL. I love the NFL. But I rather damn sure won't. I rather have those people over there that's doing the criminal investigation with the police having the authority and having more knowledge than the NFL, because, you know, it just, to me, it seems like that would be more important for all of us.
Michael, we got wide receivers making what used to be known as quarterback money. Only DeAndre Hopkins was north of $24 million. Now there are 8 wide receivers in this league north of $24 million annual average value of a contract. Don't be humble. Be real. What would a 23, 24-year-old Michael Irvin be worth in the NFL today?
I was thinking about that all weekend. All weekend for some reason. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. It was like, wow.
Look at it this way. Had you made that money, you wouldn't be talking to us. I know that. You wouldn't be on it.
I would. I would need something. Listen, no matter how much money you make. I need purpose. I need something to get up and go try to be the best at. So I would still need to still need it. And this I enjoy anyway. It's not that you need to do it. I still want to do something that I enjoy and give me purpose. But let me answer Tay. It's what I'll be pulling in right now if a young 24-year-old Mike Herbert would be rolling out there like that. 35-40, I was looking in that whole group. I was like, now who won a Super Bowl in all of this group now? Because remember, I'm coming up at 24, 25, 26 years old with a couple of Super Bowls to negotiate. I'm looking at all the guys and say, well, who won a Super Bowl then? Oh, that's going to put me. And then if I got two and they got none, I'm looking at the 5 out of 40. The 5 out of 40 number.
You are the man. Michael, thank you very much. We look forward to talking to you throughout the entire season. Great to have you on.
Absolutely, guys. I'm looking forward to it too, guys. Thanks.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.